back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively into post-Preakness activities around here. Still waiting on the Orioles to get home. At least I hope they don't put another game on Apple TV where I can't watch it from the Bronx this week. We're going to be at the local up in Falston this week doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. We'll have these scratch-offs to give away, the 50th anniversary, as well as our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. Just a reminder, this is the last week for 0% financing. At the end of the month, it goes away. Buy two, get two free. 5 years, 0% financing. Act now. This is a guy that is always acting, and, you know, he's got a place down at the beach, and he's been traveling a little bit here last summer and then into the fall. I don't know the last time that Leonard Raskin made his way from our great state across the border to Delaware. Somebody said to me the other day, Delaware should just be annexed into Maryland. It's got everything Maryland has, just different taxes, I think.
That's right, just better taxes.
You have not made any time wasted in getting to the beach. You didn't wait till Memorial Day. You went on Preak this weekend. So I'm running around with Baffert and Hat and all the celebs and the governor and all that stuff. Out at Old Hilltop, and you're watching from afar, live via satellite. Boy, what a weekend of sports it was to be on the couch, huh?
It was a beautiful weekend. We had, as you said, the Preakness, seeing the governor and the mayor handing out the Woodlawn vase. I was perplexed. I didn't realize that we totally ditched Maryland, my Maryland. I knew it was like happening, but.
It was it was like, oh, Christmas tree. There should be a different song anyway.
But no song before the race, which was kind of disappointing. Now we changed the song, but we should have had a song ready. We should have had a song ready. Something else, at least.
I'm going to work on that. You know, my friends in Catonsville, it's the music heritage capital of America. I'm going to work on a new Maryland song. I think we should do that.
Something.
It's got to be better than Oh Christmas Tree, Oh Christmas Tree.
Yeah, but we got to have something. But boy, what a race. And Bob Baffert back on the Preakness win. I'm sure they checked that horse 60 times for drugs. For those that don't know, he was excommunicated from the racing community at Churchill Downs. Even this year, wasn't able to have a horse in the Derby. But
by the way, Leonard, I would ask you to say this. I mean, you could talk about Bernie Madoff because it's your industry and when people cheat and what I had, you know, I know a guy who spent some time up in Rikers for ripping people off in Madoff style as well out of Florida, almost tried to rip me off at one point. So
dreadful.
I would say this. The racing industry people I have known for 3-4 decades. I'm talking Dick Girardi, Marty McGee.
Sure,
they all
sure.
came on last week. They really think this is out of hand with Baffert. That this was not. This was literally Advil in the horse. This was not.
I get it. Look,
this
look,
was
I'm
not.
I'm not a guy who thinks he should go down. I think that it was a crock. I read what I read about it. I heard what I heard about it. I couldn't believe that they suspended him like that. I can't believe they took the win away from the horse. I thought it was ridiculous.
Well, Dick Girardi would say this would be the NBA going after LeBron James for peeing dirty with some ridiculous thing that didn't even help his game. Marijuana.
He took a nose spray because he had a cold.
Yeah, or whatever. But like,
yeah,
but
their
then
banned
like,
substance list is
then
ridiculous.
Treating him like he's Barry Bonds, and
that's
he was
right.
out literally. Barry Bonds was trying to cheat. Lance Armstrong was trying to cheat.
Yes,
I think
there's
a difference. Now, that being said, with Baffert, I got a Baffert story. You know, I've known Bob a long, long, long time, right? And my hair is kind of long and crazy, and not everybody recognizes me anymore when I get up on them. So my wife and I went to Preakness on Saturday. We got there at 1:15 because we knew Bruno wasn't playing till we knew it was a long, long day.
Right.
Usually
we
go out there at 11 and maybe leave at 4 or 5, come home, watch the race, or get out there, watch the race and get right out of there. You know what I mean? Like, but we love the Preakness. So we went out for the day and we planned it. And we came in where the horses are, where the Derby winner Mage is, where I famously met Ferdinand back in 1986 and fell in love with racing. And we walked past the stables, very quiet back there, Leonard. There's nobody back there. You know, there's police and this and that. It's very, very media. BAL's doing its thing. Pete Gilbert, Jennifer Franciotti in a hat. It's nice. So we walk through and it's just us. And we're walking through literally 50 feet from where I saw Howard Cosell in 1984 in the back where all the trucks are. And here comes Bob Baffert. Okay. So he's coming with a contingent of people, no media, no fans, no hangers
right.
on. These are
Family.
Official looking people. No, these
yeah.
are official. These are
Okay.
people that look like they're with the track. And they're walking at me from the track. And there's
yep.
nobody around. There's no fanfare. There's nobody in a hat.
Right,
there's,
right.
It's just literally, it could have been 6 in the morning. It didn't
Yeah,
even
yeah.
have to be Preakness Day. They're walking at me, and my wife and I see Bob. And we're like, didn't look like a photo op, but it looked like a hello, how are you? Bob's walking at me, looking through me. And I'm like, Bob, Nestor from Baltimore, how are you? He fist bumped me. He looked up. He said, how you doing? And I said, good to have you in Baltimore. And he never broke stride.
Was that when the horse, they euthanized that horse?
We didn't know.
Yeah,
right? We didn't
yeah.
know at the moment.
Right,
I'm like,
right.
I said to Jen, I'm like, I was worried about National Treasure. I was worried with him walking back.
Yeah.
Maybe it was 4 hours, 5 hours for the race, but I had no idea. I swear, Leonard, we went into the track. We went twice because we forgot sunscreen. We went back out, came back in again, and
yep.
never brought up Bob Baffert all day. We did our thing. There's Republicans, Democrats, people,
sure,
horsemen,
sure.
fans, people in hats, people everywhere. And then around 4:30, my wife and I were in the tent and we were reading the form to bet the big race.
Yep.
And I looked down on my phone and I'm like, hey, Bob Baffert lost a horse today. Like,
yep.
That's what happened. Like, I ran into him as his horse fell. Like,
yep.
I can't,
yep.
like, it was
terrible.
It was
terrible.
All, yeah. So for you watching all of this, what did you make of the TV? And because I know you're watching hockey and everything.
I
over
love
the
it.
Weekend
Look,
too.
I loved it. We watched the day. You know, I like watching the races, and we watched the day on NBC Peacock and NBC, and they could not have painted a better picture of Baltimore. I mean, the NBC crew, the whole everything was Baltimore, Baltimore, Baltimore. It was positive.
Well,
It was
Bob
Baltimore
Baffert,
positive.
Bob always says how much he loves Baltimore.
Loved it.
When
loved
when
it.
I
But
run into Bob and at the Super Bowl and other places, he talks to me about crab cakes, Baltimore,
yeah,
Maryland for 30
the,
years.
The whole crew was talking about Pimlico and how great it was. And of course, they tell every year they tell the story of the founding of Pimlico and the founding of the Preakness. They talk about the big dinner. Where they have had the dinner where they came up with the idea of having this race and that the winner of the race was Preakness. And, you know, the whole thing, they tell the whole story of Baltimore and Old Hilltop. It's magnificent. And the guys that talk horses, you know, they know Baltimore. So they roll it up. And I think we couldn't have had a better display of talking about the city. It was a, what do they say? A postcard, picture postcard. What do they call it? A
perfect day.
Yeah, it was beautiful. I can't think of the word. It's like missing my brain here.
But
the,
well, Leonard, I would just say this. I don't want to say never watch Preakness coverage. I watched it the one year where only Rob Roblin and Jane Miller were out there, right?
Yeah.
Like the year when they took the bands away and Tom Chukas
yep,
came
yep,
in
yep.
and they decided they weren't going to have urinals anymore.
Yeah, right.
And
it's going to be up sophisticated like the Derby.
Leonard, they've in my lifetime, they've done a wonderful job of turning. Look, I was that guy in the 80s. I have pictures of boobies and horses and beer bongs and like.
And nobody
like,
knew the race happened.
Listen, I was a massive part of that. All of my youth, we ran buses out there in the 90s where we have photographic evidence of all of that from
yep.
96
yep.
to probably 05 when I got married. We ran buses out there for 15 years
yep.
with
yep.
Bob
yep.
Leffler, all that. So I've seen this devolve, right? Evolve, devolve, the scaffolding, the rain, swale, horses breaking down. All
yep,
of
yep.
the infrastructure on the electricity broke down in the late
sure.
80s. If you couldn't bet on the race. Like I've seen the slots were going to save it and the slots weren't going to save it. They're going
right.
to move it to Laurel. They're going to move it to Gulfstream. It's still here. They're going to build that glass thing out there that I haven't heard a thing about in 3 years.
Hopefully.
And now differences for me. Let me give you my day. We get out there. The first thing I see pulling in, protesters of dead animals. Lots of protesters.
Ridiculous.
Everywhere.
Ridiculous.
There were trucks going by with videos of horses falling on the track.
Yeah.
I walk in, see Bob Baffert, long face, a horse fell on the track, jockey's in the hospital, the whole deal, right?
Was that the People for Eating Tasty Animals protesters?
I don't know if it was PETA. I don't know who it was. but I'm telling
somebody
you.
Somebody should give them another steak. That's what they need. They need another steak on the Barbie. That's what they need.
There's a lot less people at the race. Like that.
Yeah,
that's just a fact, right?
Right.
And the people that are there are the people they want there. I don't see fights.
Yep.
I don't see violence. I see lots of pretty dressed up people. And Leonard, I'm going to say something here that's very, very, and only a guy that's been to 40 Preaknesses can say this. African Americans are come to the Preakness now. And it was a white event in the 80s and 90s, especially in the infield. It was a 98 Roth
event. Think about it from where it's located. You wouldn't think that, right?
Well, I would just say this, and I mean this in the grandest sense of the word. I went out on Friday afternoon. I'm gonna pat myself on the back. My wife is a serious worker. You know that she's an engineer.
She works
for a living. She didn't have time to pick a dress out or any of that. The Preakness people, the Pimlico people, thank you, David Joseph. They got back to me. They got me a pass. They got me in. They didn't throw me out. We didn't walk up to the press box. The elevator's broken. It's 7 floors straight up. I walked up there to get a press pass on Wednesday. I'm not doing it again. I would say this. We went out there, and I bought my wife 8 dresses on Friday. She took 5 of them back, kept 3. She took the one she wanted. They were all under $40. I just muted my mic. We're value shoppers, Leonard. So I'll say this. We went out there. She had a hat. She had a dress. I looked nice because I have nice clothes, and it was a nice day. We went out there. 90% of the people who go now are there to look nice, be nice, go with their girlfriends, go with their buddies and pick up chicks. Have a stogie. They want to look nice. They want to feel nice. They want to dress nice. There's weed everywhere, blowing in the air. Welcome to Cannabis United, right? There's beer. I didn't see any trouble. I didn't see any hints of trouble. I saw groups of African-American women in their 50s and their 20s. I saw groups of couples in their 20s and their 50s. I saw the old men that like racing. I saw football players. I saw dignitaries. I saw Gail King. I saw people out there in jeans and wife beaters too for Bruno Mars, but they have turned it into, dare I say, something you shouldn't go to Delaware for on the weekend. It's something you should go to next year. How about that? Can I say that out loud?
I'm in. And what I was thinking, and it just came to me, a Chamber of Commerce kind of day.
Okay.
And that's what it was. It was beautiful. And what you're talking about is exactly what they want the image of the place to be. And that's fantastic. And then
you should go to the Preakness, Leonard. Your wife should go. Matthew, you should come. You should sit in that, if 4, 3, 4, 5, or whatever it is. Pay for it, get the food all day, the drinks, do it all down on the grass. It's a little warm in there, so you know, dress appropriately, but it is a lovely, lovely day. It's a better day out than any Raven game. It's a better day out than any Oriole game. And I have said on these airwaves since the day I went to the Kentucky Derby in 1996 that they should figure out a way to make this thing good. And it was great.
And they have. There you go.
Yes.
And they've done it. So I'm with you. I'm in. I'm there. And then this past week, last Monday, took the family, paid face price, sat in some club seats, watched Shohei Ohtani pitch and hit against the Orioles.
You got your money's worth, right? You went there to see him be great, right?
The only game they lost, I would have hoped we would have won, but my goodness, I haven't seen a home run hit that hard in Camden Yards in a long, long time when he crushed that ball. And I didn't get this at first. I knew it was possible, but he pitched 7 1/3. He gave up 5 hits, 3 home runs, but he only gave up 5 hits.
That Jim Palmer or Shohei Ohtani? What was that?
Yeah, right. And then here's the thing. Because of the way this league is now, he's the DH, right?
He rarely plays the outfield. Yes, yes.
No. My point is they take him out after 7 1/3. And he's batting in the ninth. I'm thinking, wait a minute. They took him out of the game. Doesn't he have to come out? Don't they got to do double switch?
No,
because he's the DH. So he hit in the ninth. I didn't get on it. He got a little single to left in the ninth. He was going for the cycle. He was going for the cycle in the ninth, and he poked the ball to left for a single. But
so you and I talked last week. You were all worked up about going. You were all worked up to get Mr. Angelos your credit card. And then you go out there, and you got your money's worth.
Absolutely, for exactly what I wanted to see, which was greatness on the field. The O's played a tough game. They fought hard. Pitcher, tough night. I think it was Grayson Rodriguez. Tough night for him in the fourth. He gave up a few, but a great baseball game, a great atmosphere. What I couldn't believe, and I shouldn't say this because I'm guilty as anybody, the place wasn't half full. Nestor, there wasn't half a stadium on a Monday night, second best record in the league to face Shohei Ohtani. Place wasn't half full.
So I would say to you, if you and I, all right, I mean, and maybe we should play this game every week because, I mean, at some point, you know, the John Angelos and the TJ Brightman types and whatever are going to have to speak to somebody. But let's pretend that you and I bought the team, right? If we buy the team tomorrow, Mr. Angelos dies, you got a rich uncle or two uncles, we put some money together, we buy the team, and you say, well, where are we starting from? Right. And Luke said something to me that I thought when Luke says a lot of prescient things here, which is why we keep him around at Baltimore Positive. But he said to me, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. And it's not. And I'll say this to you. And I said this to Luke the other day. Monday, you went down there and a week later, you're like, oh, it was only half empty or whatever. I was at Guinness that night with John Waite and there were only 400 people at Guinness that night. It was a pre-draw and all that stuff.
Right.
John Waite was the only celebrity there. Bob Baffert, none of the horse trainers were there or anything like that. It was what it was. So you did your thing. I had friends that left at 7 o'clock in the second inning and went down to the game because there was still time to do that. Thursday was the alibi breakfast in the morning. I attended an event with Ryan Ripken, and man, he was
the crab crawl. Did you do the crab crawl?
I did the crab crawl Wednesday. That was Wednesday. Okay. I did that down in Lexington. Thursday morning, I did the Connects event, Mike Tisch's event.
Oh, sure.
Factory up in up at the Valley Mansion next to Patterson.
Yeah, I was invited, couldn't make it.
Okay, so I went there Thursday morning instead of the alibi breakfast. And then Thursday night, my friend Steve Tremino had a happy hour down at the Center Club in the Oriole Bird Room. I'm going to put a picture of me up in the Bird Nest Room. It took an hour to navigate downtown traffic to get to the Center Club because the Oriole game let out. It was Preakness Thursday, so I guess there's some people downtown. And then there's like people work for a living and get off of work at 5 o'clock.
Right.
It was I lived downtown for 19 years. And when I first moved down there, the Orioles were a thing. And if the Orioles were playing an afternoon game, don't get stuck in Little Italy with the car. Walk.
No, right.
Because
you
can walk home quicker than you can drive down Lombard Street at 4:15 if an Oriole game lets out. Leonard, I had people bitching. Everyone that I ran into was like, oh my God, a traffic. I couldn't. And I'm like,
you should have such problems.
That's what I said. I said, now it's a Baltimore Positive problem to have.
There we go.
We
That's a good thing.
Problems. So when you mentioned that the stadium's half, hey, come see me in July or August. Let's see how they do marketing this thing. When are you going back? I'm asking you and Dennis.
I don't know, but here's the question. You couldn't do much better than 2 out of 3 against the Angels. Go take 2 out of 3 from Tampa. Sweep Toronto. What a series that was. I mean, they're playing amazing ball. Great, good pitching over the weekend. Three games, 6, 6, and 8 runs. They got it going on. And I think Tampa lost. We're, what, 2 back? 2.5 back? We're actually
Following the standings.
Actually watching the standings in June. In May. I mean, this is good stuff. I like it. Look, I love baseball. You know that. We've talked about it.
It's been a lost thing in our lives, right?
Yeah, and to see them playing good ball. And, you know, I turn on SportsCenter just to see where they fall in there. They're still not top story worthy. They're still not A block, if you will. They're still coming in later in the show. It's still the NBA, and then a little hockey, and then the PGA, you know, is coming in.
Well, the PGA was great on Sunday, too. I mean, as a remedy, as a hangover from the Preakness, we sat and watched the Orioles play the Blue Jays Sunday. The golf was on. Hockey was on. I mean, you saw the Vegas scores with 2 minutes left. They score an OT. Boom. Dallas, good night. They're down three. I even watched a little hockey over the weekend. The NBA's compelling, unless if you hate Boston, you love it.
Yeah, I'm not an NBA fan, but Boston's down three and LA's down three. So what the heck? You know, I don't think you could do better than that.
Leonard Raskin is here. He is Raskin Global.
Villain.
Give me a little spring cleaning here as we get up Memorial Day. People get an extra day next week. Give me a little advice on all of this, because I have people that are talking about the real estate market and what incredible interest. I say my friends at Window Nation, 5 years, 0% financing.
Zero's good.
Hey,
zero's financing, good. Houses are seven.
Yeah, where are we with money, right? You and I haven't talked. We're so into the Orioles and all that, but I haven't talked money with you. What are you telling people about this crazy market and what they should be getting for their money and what they should be thinking about doing with their money when 7% is the number that when my wife wants to buy a car, they're giving her?
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. We've seen 10 rate increases from the Fed in the last year because the only tool the Fed has to try to combat inflation is raising interest rates to stunt the economy. And they're trying to do it at the same time, not throw the country in a recession. I don't know how they're going to do that. They're working on it hard. What they're not getting is help from the federal government to stop spending. Biden and the Democrats spend. That's what they want to do. They want to spend. They want everybody to get free money for something so they can become dependent on the government. So the more they can spend, the more power they get. That's their gig. It's the way it goes. The Republicans spend too. They just don't give it to people. they buy arms and you know they do crazy stuff too. But the fact is that since COVID, we have spent as a country way too much money. And what we don't recognize, of course, is that's our money. So at the same time that the government's giving you freebies, your salary is not going up as fast as inflation. And you're falling behind financially. That's not a good thing. The average person is seeing their wages go up, but less than the cost of living is going up. And so when you're lower middle class, these things hit you hard. The price of gas, you want to get a car, the interest rate you're paying on that car loan, your credit cards, your home equity line.
Boy, money's expensive right now, just in a
money
general
is
sense.
Expensive.
And that
that's
really,
what inflation, that's what interest rate is, the price
of
money.
If you want to build, if you had an idea a year and a half ago to do X, and you're like, okay, X, money's 3%, worst case 4 or 5. Like when you start spreadsheeting out, I'm going to build a barn, a thing, whatever it is, it's going to cost $100,000, $1 million, $10 million, whatever the scale is. And you're like, where am I getting that money? Well, I'm going to get it from myself. I'm going to get it from my Uncle Leonard. I'm going to borrow from the bank, wherever you're going to get it. Whatever your spreadsheet looked like 6 months ago, a year ago,
update,
for whatever
change,
the prospecting is, right? If you had to borrow money.
And the thing is, this lags. This lags in the economy at the high end. So let's say you're doing that thing you just talked about and you are a commercial builder or you're a home builder. When you contract to build that deal, that's when you pay for the money. You get the money when you do the deal. So you were going to build that home. You were going to build that shopping center. You were going to build that movie theater and you borrowed it 3-4%, whatever it is. And you build that thing and that thing takes 2 years to build. Okay, that's all fine and good, and the economy looks like it's rolling right along until that build is complete. Because when that build is complete, you're going to do the next one. And the next one's at 7 or 8%. And suddenly we're going to see a stunting and a stopping of some of that. And when that happens, that's when we're going to see the hard hit, I think, in the economy. When those rates affect the high end. Now, if you're an individual and you're upper middle class, wealthier, you know, you don't feel it as much. You say, okay, I got to pay a little more for gas. I got to pay a little more for eggs, but so what? I just pay a little more for things. So those that they wanted to want to protect or say they want to protect the most, which is the poor in the middle, are the ones that get hit the hardest. And the ones that have the money, they'll be fine. Yeah, they'll spend a little more for stuff, but ultimately they'll be fine. Why? Because they can invest in bonds. What is a bond? It's you lending money to someone saying, pay me interest and a promise to pay me back my principal in the future. And if I can invest in bonds and get a 5, 6, 7% interest rate on money that I lend instead of a hopeful 7, 8, 9% in the stock market with a ton of risk, I'm going to be more inclined to lend money and get an interest rate on it. And the wealthy are going to keep doing that. The investing class is going to be fine. You know, nobody that was owning a horse at the Preakness is going to be suffering because interest rates went up. But a lot of the people attending, whoever they may be, 20-year-olds, 50-year-olds,
if they're going to buy something next week or next month,
are going to see that cost of money and say, what? I bought my last car at 2%, 1.9 for 5 years. You're telling me now I'm buying it at 6.9? Are you out of your mind? And so what happens? They keep their car longer. So what happens to new car sales? They drop. What does that mean? Manufacturing drops. What does that mean? People lose jobs. What does that mean? We stunted the economy, and that's what the Fed's trying to do, is block that down so that the economy will slow, so that interest rates will come, then inflation will come down, and then they can release interest rates. But it's a cycle, and it's created by the government. Nobody creates inflation except the federal government. The only way you create inflation is to print more money and spend more money, and the Feds are doing it at an alarming rate, and they just want to spend more. And it's tragic for us because there's only three places. There's only three places in the world, that in our world, that money is. The consumer has it, a business has it, or the government has it. And the more the government spends, the worse the other two are. And the better the government is, and we don't need great government. We need great companies. We need wealthy people. And we need people to rise up from wherever they are in their stage in life and create more personal wealth. And that doesn't happen with wages not growing as fast as costs, and cost, you know, outstripping your ability to go do the things you want to do. So you got to be careful. You got to, you know, it may be time to look at a bank account, although you got to make sure you look at the right ones, because bank account money rates are coming up, because that's the short term of the world. So you want to get in there. You want to get your money in a place that's going to pay you a good interest rate. And you can get that today without a whole lot of risk. That's the way to do it.
I remember when the interest passbooks were paying like 0.6%. You know, it was crazy.
And remember when they were 18%. Liberty, what was it? Old Court Savings and Loan. Remember that?
I do remember the Levitts. Yeah, I remember them going in and out of the courtroom. Yeah. Well, but, you know, maybe we'll do a little history of that. It's only been four decades. Leonard Raskin's been around long enough to remember Old Court Savings and Loan and all the Dewey Cheatham's and Howes and trying to keep it on the up and up. Hey, Raskin Global's out there, RaskinGlobal.com. If you need good advice, Leonard's around to talk about money, your money, how to save it, and how to protect yourself from the government, as well as, you know, bad things from happening to you. Leonard, I appreciate you. Good things are happening around here,
and a little baseball and football and golf and hockey and whatever else you want to yak about.
Football. What's football? We didn't talk any football in this segment.
Well, we're not going to. Oh, there we go.
All right. Well, that's how good things – when the Ravens are at the bottom of the totem pole in May, you know things are good around here. Leonard Raskin can be found at Raskin Globe. He's also at the front of Baltimore Positive. We are doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour up in Falston this week at the local on Tuesday. Going to be doing it for the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation. Speaking of percentages, still 0% financing for a few more days to the end of the month. Then it's over with 5 years, 0% financing. You buy two, you get two free. It's Window Nation. All right. I am Nestor. We are WNST. It is a beautiful spring, almost summer around here, baseball activity and fun things. We're BaltimorePositive.com. Stay with us.